Marner can't come back tonight. He can be back tomorrow. What are you more interested in, who the roster cuts are or who he ends up playing with on the left wing?
Probably what it looks like when he gets back. I mean, because, you know, basically Sheldon Keefe acknowledged yesterday it's going to be McCabe. So, yeah. You know, it's going to be the first time in what? I guess it's 3.5 years, really, that Zach Hyman would be considered a third liner on this team just because, you know, years ago he was with Matthews pretty much consistently, and then last year he was with Tavares and Marner the entire time. And so probably the shakedown of the lineup is more interesting. And, you know, it does seem as though he's coming back tomorrow, which means, you know, obviously some guys will be on waivers today to make that happen if Marner is coming back for Wednesday's game.
Do you have any sense of who is going to be put on waivers?
I don't really. Nick Petan has cleared waivers in the last 30 days, so he can be sent down directly. I believe Pierre Engvall can be sent down without waivers. So, you know, those would be two likely candidates just because of their status. Nick Shore hasn't played as much since Sheldon Keefe took over. I certainly seen a dip in where he's at, since Mike Babcock was there. So I think he's a likely candidate. But, you know, this is finally, something I know we were talking about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but they're finally reaching the point where they can only carry 21 players. And I believe they have 24 right now. So there's some work to be done there roster-wise. And then when Trevor Moore gets healthy, and he's been skating now for the last week or so, you know, that means someone else has to go beyond that. So it can't be too anxious of a time for some of these guys. And, you know, we're still kind of guessing because I would have told you more confidently because Mike Babcock was pretty clear what he liked. I think Sheldon Keefe has tried to give everyone a bit of a chance. And I just, you know, we haven't seen enough games. I don't have a true tell on who's in and who's out, since he's taken over.
Well, I can tell you that right this second, the Toronto Maple Leafs are adding players to this roster because they have recalled Martin Marincin, who was just sent down on Friday. I don't mean to spring it on you, but does that make sense to you?
Well, I believe they were only carrying 6 defensemen before that. So, they probably, my guess is they're just bringing him in to be the extra player in Philadelphia tonight. Obviously, I haven't asked anyone that, but, you know, you never know what can happen in warm-up or, you know, it does make sense that you want to carry an extra D. I mean, he can just as easily be sent back tomorrow or someone else, although I would suspect it's him, given the top 6 has been solidified here for a little while. So I would think he's just a healthy, warm body to have on the road, especially because if someone got sick this afternoon or something happened on warm-ups, it just gives them an extra option there.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, is that we did really have a decent idea of who was going to be on the bubble when it was Babcock, because he had shown his hand quite a bit in terms of who he did like, and now there is probably a little bit more flux. I would guess that guys who, just can clear waivers, that would be the easiest thing to do with someone like Petan, just from an asset management standpoint. But the guy I'm kind of most curious about now is going to be Dmytro Timoshov, because to start the year, it was kind of like the big debate was, well, you can't really waive him because he's only 23 years old and he's somewhat coveted within the organization. And while he's had kind of spotty starts here and there, he's down on the fourth line, he's shown some things at times. Do you think that the organization has budged either way on how they perceive him?
Well, what's interesting now is Sheldon Keefe knows him.
Yeah.
Mike Babcock, in a lot of ways, was just learning about him. I mean, obviously, he kept an eye on these one of the players in the organization playing for the Marlies, but he hadn't coached them before this season. And, you know, obviously he won a spot in camp and the coach liked him. He sat a couple games, but, you know, he was playing more than Jason Spezza at that point in time under Mike Babcock. You know, that's changed a little bit here. And, you know, I think what we do know today, if it does start happening today, is that in this case, the coach and the GM will be on the same page. And I think that was part of the dynamic we were observing when we thought these moves were coming before Marner got injured, was just that, you know, Babcock really wasn't playing Jason Spezza very much. I didn't think the management probably wanted to have to send him down and put him on waivers, given, you know, wooing him here and all that stuff that we've been over. And now, you know, I think you're more likely to see an aligned vision on what happens. And I don't think we'll have those questions. So, you know, my guess is at some point, I mean, Timoshov might not go in this round of cuts, if you will, or demotions. He might hang on until Trevor Moore is ready to come back. But, I'm guessing when we get to 21 healthy Leafs, if that point ever happens and they can't carry more than 21 with their cap situation, I don't think he's in that group of 21.
Well, to make matters even more interesting, just as I'm thinking about, like, the Leafs are on back-to-backs, and they just did essentially load management, is what it was at least sold to us as, with Jason Spezza, right? Like, they said they want to explore sitting him on some back-to-backs, if I have it correctly. And so the logical thinking would be that if they do have an extra player, it would have to be a forward so that they could do that. Do you think Spezza is going to sit again on a back-to-back here?
I'm not clear on that. They can do it this time because we're talking about it in a theory where Mar comes back. So, I can see it being that he plays tonight and then they make the roster move they make and they activate Marner and they sit Spezza tomorrow and Marner's in. That's probably a plausible scenario for this. What gets interesting is that, essentially they're choosing, when everyone's healthy, they can carry one extra player. Well, is that extra player a forward or a defenseman? I think that's kind of an interesting question for the reasons I outlined. They might have brought Marincin up now. They go on the road for whatever, 3 or 4 games. Look, next week they're on the road the entire week. And if they're not carrying an extra defenseman, that means if something happens to one of the guys, they might enter a game with only 5 defensemen or having to play a forward back there. That's going to be now the new tightrope they're walking. If it is their extra player is a forward, I think they leave themselves a little bit exposed. In some ways, it's easier to carry an extra defenseman because I think you can play with 11 forwards easier than you can play with 5D. But if that's the case, I'm not sure Jason Spezza is in the mix. So, that's kind of where the friction point is, or where the decision, the tough part of this comes in. And I don't really have any indication from management or anyone else with the team what they're going to do here. But we're going to find out probably at noon.
Yeah, the margins are definitely slim with this team up against the cap because they also need to add another backup goaltender, I would imagine. I can't imagine the idea is that Michael Hutchinson will figure this out or that they'll play well enough in front of him to make him a passable backup, that they've seen enough. But maybe I'm wrong. How active do you think they are on the market trying to shore up that position?
Well, it depends who you believe. Kyle Dubas gave Michael Hutchinson a vote of confidence yesterday, and maybe that's something he has to do in this position. You're not going to come out and say we're trying to get someone to replace this guy. I don't think that would be a very smart public comment if that's what you're doing. But, I'm with you guys. I don't take any pleasure in this, but, just seeing what's happened here, like I don't know how they don't feel as though they've cost themselves games. They've had 3 games where they've had their backup in net with multi-goal leads and lost all 3 of the games. Every other team in the league but Columbus has at least 1 win from their backup. The Leafs have 1 point in 7 starts from the backup goaltender, one of those being Cascasuo and 6 with Hutchinson. At some point, and they're going to need someone to play games that aren't just back-to-backs, too, to lessen the workload of Frederik Andersen. So, I have to believe, just thinking about this intuitively, that they're looking for a backup, but the margins there are so slim. There's only so many guys that make $800,000 or less, which is roughly the window they have to spend on that position, unless they're shipping another contract out as part of all this. The reality is they might not be able to do it. They might have to just ride either Hutchinson or Cascasuo at some point here and just hope it gets better. But it's not an ideal plan. It's part of the cap jail they're in. It's not because I don't think it's because they believe Michael Hutchinson is going to suddenly become a 9-15 goaltender, but it's the situation they're left with, and I don't see an easy way out, other than someone like Tristan Jarry with Pittsburgh, but he's having such a good year there. I'm not sure how willing the Penguins would be to give up on him, and certainly if they did, it would be a pretty hefty acquisition cost, and that's something the Leafs have to weigh because they've already traded away first round picks in multiple years. What are they willing to pay if they do end up getting into that goalie market is an interesting question.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting.
I can't imagine it's a first. And I understand, some goalies have gone off the market. And, the Lightning aren't trading within their division Louis Domingue and only asking for a 7th-round pick. But guys have moved. But, what is, the high end of an asking price here if we're talking about a guy in Jarry who would fit into the salary structure? He's not in the division, and they have DeSmith, who I know they have their own cap issues, right? And that's why he's down in the AHL. Are we talking what the high end is, a 5th-round pick for a backup goalie?
Well, the problem is some people think Jari can be a number one, and he's still only 24. And, you know, I haven't looked at his numbers today, but he was in the 920s last I looked. I mean, he's had an excellent year when he's played. And so I think for him, you're looking at a second round pick, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about just for the Leafs. I just think in general, I mean, if the Penguins don't have to move him. They like the Smith. You know, they signed him to a 3-year extension last year to be their backup. And they passed him through waivers to start the year. And again, he makes a little bit more than I think the Leafs can pay for the position. He's somewhere a million and a bit on his contract. And, you know, to get him, which would be probably cheaper at this point than Tristan Jarry, the Leafs would still have to ship money out or not carry any extra players. So he's a tough option. But, you know, I think at some point, if they keep losing the games, that the backup plays are going to be forced into action. You know, clearly it's not their preference to do this, but, you know, they might have no choice because, you know, honestly, if it costs them a playoff spot, if it keeps going as it's going.
No, it's the biggest, in my opinion, oversight by the front office was rolling the dice on this and thinking it could work, especially since you had your starting goaltender, arguably your team's best player, certainly your team's most valuable player, say before the season that he was aiming for 55 games. You got no points from your backup. It has not worked out. And the idea that Nueverth was going to come in and steal the job or at least give you some semblance of a backup, it was a place that they couldn't afford a penny pinch. But so I get that Jari would come at that kind of a premium, but what would it be like? Is there a scenario where the Leafs could pay a premium in picks or prospect capital to get a team to eat some of the salary of a backup goaltender so they could fit under their cap structure?
Now, that is possible, and I haven't looked at it close enough to tell you which guys I think are the obvious targets there, but you know, that is obviously something they could do. They could also trade a player off the roster. I mean, the Leafs have a lot of NHL forwards, and you know, they could trade someone from down the roster maybe to make a little bit of room that way, although the problem is most of them make only, you know, $775,000, $800,000. You know, around the league minimum, the guys that I would think are obvious potential candidates. So they're backed into a corner here, but you're right. Someone could eat half the salary. So then you're looking at players that make $1.6 million and less because you can eat up to half, and that would get them to roughly that $800,000 cap hit. And, you know, I'll have to study it a little bit closer to see who's obvious and, you know, reach around to some of those other GMs. But, you know, I do know Pittsburgh was willing to move a goalie because they have three of them, essentially. But, you know, I think that they understand the Leafs are in the pinch they're in, and they're not going to be amenable to just giving one of their guys away, given that they don't have to move one right now.
Oh, come on, NHL. Just help out Toronto Maple Leafs. They're good guys. Just, damn, be nice. So really enjoyed your piece on the Greg Moore hire, and it's a different world we live in. Like, this is the new thing, right? Like, we're going to have to – these are the questions that are going to be asked about guys' backgrounds, and now it's incumbent on the team. Like, there's no excuses anymore, I guess. If something shows up after the guy's hired, it's now on the franchise, I guess.
Well, I think so. And look, we're all still probably putting our head around this. I mean, it's only 7 or 8 days, you know, since the Akeem Alou, you know, allegations first came out about Bill Peters. In that time, a lot's happened. You know, obviously, Bill Peters ended up resigning from the Calgary Flames. We've seen Mark Crawford taken off the Chicago Blackhawks bench under team investigation for allegations against him. You know, the athletic therapist in Swift Current with the WHL team lost his job yesterday. There's a lot that's kind of bounced around here. But, you know, I think it's clear that, you know, how people look at all these things has changed. And it just struck me yesterday, of all the times I've stood and heard someone, you know, be unveiled as a new coach or new whatever, in my time as a sports reporter, I'd never heard the question asked, you know, what kind of background check did you do? And, you know, I do think it's the way things will go now, and it probably should be. Look, I'm still of the view that it's been a heavy week for those of us in the hockey industry, but I'm of the view that it's a very positive thing for the industry. You know, not everything is positive. Obviously, the allegations that go around are unpleasant, and you know, it's not nice. But I think in the long run, if we're you know, if the sport becomes healthier because of it, it's a good thing. So I just thought that was interesting. You know, Greg Moore coming in, clearly a progressive sounding guy. You know, I don't know him personally, but you know, just getting my first sense on yesterday, very much aligned with the way that Cal Dubas and Sheldon Keefe do business, and you know, I think it'll be an extension of what happens with the Leafs. You know, he'll be a seamless fit organizationally.